In the unrest that's traveled across the Middle East this year, at many times we heard about authoritarian regimes shutting down the internet. This happened in Egypt. It's happened in several countries. It's happened in Syria as well, cutting off cell phone service and other phone service, and in particular restricting access to social networking sites, Twitter and Facebook, which are the places which opposition has often used to organize protests and rallies. Protesters, though, continue to risk their lives to try to get the images, cell phone video, cell phone photos out to the world. The United States hasn't been necessarily fast to condemn the actions of some of these governments, but at the same time, they've been working on a way to help the opposition get around them. Joining us now, James Glantz, investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times. He co-wrote a piece, fascinating piece, in yesterday's paper about these shadow networks. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
First of all, tell me exactly how these work. There's one in which you describe in the piece a spy novel come to life, the cell network, the internet in a suitcase that I guess literally looks like a regular suitcase?
It does. They've fashioned this whole thing so that you'll be able to snap it up, carry it across the border, and hand it off to some dissident group if you want to. And it has little wireless antennas and modified cell phones with special software so that they sort of talk to each other. Each cell phone is a little mini cell tower as well as a cell phone. And so you have a network that's set up that does not go through the ordinary towers that are set up on buildings and so forth, and can be monitored by the government.
And that's just one of the things that they have available that they're hoping to distribute to opposition groups? Or how would they choose who got these shadow, the powers of these shadow networks and shadow cell phone networks?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the answer to that remains to be seen. But the way that it's phrased by the State Department, which is running a lot of these programs, is that they're just out there to help the citizens of the world communicate with each other and exercise their fundamental right to expression, free expression. But I think the groups that are going to want it the most will be these dissident groups and repressive regimes.
Your article mentions that the State Department and the Pentagon together spent $50 million or so working on an independent cell phone network in Afghanistan because they've had problems with the Taliban shutting down communications networks. Is that correct?
That's right. It was probably more than $50 million, but that's sort of lower bound. The range that U.S. officials told us they estimated there was $50 to $250 million. But that's right. Yeah, that's a little known fact. Something we stumbled upon in researching the article is that the Taliban shuts down the cell phone network in Afghanistan more or less at will. And so the U.S. is trying to find a way to make sure that people can call in if the Taliban is running some operation at night and be able to report that, security forces, for example, should come and respond.
Well, it sounds, we're speaking to James Glantz, investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times, and you can check out his piece in yesterday's paper. But, it sounds almost as though Afghanistan is the development that area, that's where they're able to sort of test some of this equipment that they might eventually give to opposition groups in other Middle Eastern countries.
Well, it comes in all shapes and sizes. The internet in suitcase is a modest-sized bit of hardware. The one in Afghanistan would be this sort of, they call it insertion, because you're putting the internet and the cell phone system in. There it's a cell phone system. This is the insertion project writ large, because you're spending a lot of money. You're putting up an entire parallel, cell phone telecommunication system. And that's only going to happen in a place where you more or less control things on the ground or have places where you can protect the towers, and that's U.S. bases in Afghanistan.
Well, let me ask you, James, because I always get nervous when they talk about developing these kind of technologies, because I got to wonder, especially after our experiences in Afghanistan and many other places, is this technology eventually going to turn around and bite us back? In 10 to 20 years, are we going to be seeing this kind of technology in the hands of perhaps a terrorist organization that will use it against us?
I think that's a little speculative, but it is the case that you never know where these things are going to go. And, you could see something like this set up in the U.S., let's say, or in a country where we wouldn't want it to exist. But you know, remember, in the United States, people already can use a pretty much open internet, so you don't have to really worry about consequences here, I don't think. You know, you could imagine things happening in, take an authoritarian regime we support. Now, there you could see opposition groups using it, and we wouldn't possibly be so happy about that. And so that's an open question, I think, that we'll have to face in the future.
All right. So, number one, how big is this? I mean, the suitcase, the internet suitcase, is it like a carry-on? What kind of suitcase are we talking about? How big is it?
Well, I actually went down to this little shop on L Street in Washington and talked to the folks. And I went down, I think, 1 week, and our photographer came back the next. When I went down there, they still hadn't bought the suitcase. So I asked them jokingly, was it a Samsonite or what was it? But by the time the photographer came, they had the suitcase. And indeed, it looks like something you carry on an airplane and take to a trip in Myrtle Beach or something. So it's not very big.
I didn't bring my underwear. Instead, I brought this darn internet in a suitcase.
You got it. So, you know, one check on baggage per person.
We only have about 30 seconds left, James. How quickly, I mean, when can we expect to see these things rolling off and into the hands of opposition groups?
The schedule is 1 year, so that's when you should expect to see it.
James Glantz, investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
His piece about the shadow networks being developed in a cooperation between the Pentagon and the State Department appeared in yesterday's New York Times. Great piece. It's sort of, he calls it straight out of a spy novel, Internet in a Suitcase.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.